It's Saturday, March 11th, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adrian Blessed here with Adam B. Levine for your weekend story. On today's show, we're taking a look at how the collapse of crypto's most visible bank could be an opportunity for stablecoins and other financial services providers. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from CoinDesk's Daniel Kuhn. Our feature today is entitled, Four Potential Winners of the Silvergate Unwind. Silvergate Bank, perhaps at one time the most important financial institution in the world of cryptocurrency, will wind down after a period of cataclysmic withdrawals and a failed bailout from a federal mortgage backer. The bank's conversations with the FDIC, or Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, last week reported to be a way to avoid a shutdown and shore up liquidity, but in retrospect looked like a nail in the coffin rather than a sign of life. Silvergate, which began during the savings and loan era, and was essentially the first bank to see an opportunity in crypto, seemed to become a financial zombie after overgrowing itself in a volatile sector. It took on a massive amount of crypto deposits, some $13.2 billion at the end of September, and like all banks, invested those in safe, yield-bearing assets like U.S. Treasuries and other bonds. Following the collapse of crypto exchange FTX, however, a wave of customer withdrawals and required payments on a federal home loan bank loan forced the bank to sell off assets before they reached maturity, causing a mismatch between its assets and its liabilities. It reportedly lost over $1 billion in the fourth quarter. And no lie, the situation isn't great for crypto. BTC is trading down significantly on the news, and there are possible spillover effects to worry about. So, who and what, apart from the short sellers who already made their profits, could benefit from a Silvergate gate? Here are four possible winners. First, it's other banks. The companies that stand to benefit most directly from the collapse of Silvergate are Silvergate's competitors. At the first sign of blood in the water, a number of crypto firms, including Coinbase, Paxos Trust, and Galaxy Digital, switched to New York-based Signature Bank out of a quote-unquote abundance of caution. Signature, which has far less exposure to crypto than Silvergate did, announced some months ago it would be curtailing its exposure to the crypto industry. There's no denying, however, that many crypto companies are loaded with cash that needs to be banked somewhere. Even as banking industry overseers caution traditional finance firms from dealing with crypto companies, crypto remains a well-capitalized industry, at least on paper. Bloomberg's Matt Levine noted that Silvergate's issues didn't necessarily stem from crypto itself. The run on the bank, so-called, didn't start with an implosion of Silvergate's Bitcoin loan book or of one of its crypto clients. Well, there was FTX, but not as a proximate cause. Rather, this was from their, quote, normal business of banking, borrowing short, taking deposits from crypto firms to lend long, buying treasuries and municipal bonds, he says. There's a calculus here involving regulatory concerns and risk, sure, but that's exactly what due diligence is for. As long as it's not explicitly illegal to bank crypto firms, and it's not, there's an opportunity for banks to filter out applicants that can operate as going concerns. The logical inverse is that nearly every crypto company is insolvent, which seems unlikely considering some $8 billion in deposits were withdrawn from Silvergate. That money has to go somewhere. But that's just the start. On Monday, Keiko analysts reported that, quote, stablecoins will likely become even more ubiquitous among traders with the death of the Silvergate Exchange Network, an internal system Silvergate created to allow its clients to easily swap capital, which was shut down prior to the bank's unwinding. Crypto firms are likely already familiar with the mechanics of stablecoins, a class of crypto assets usually pegged to the US dollar. In fact, in the last year, stablecoin transactions on centralized exchanges rose to 90% of all volumes, from 79%, replacing, in particular, US dollar-based trading pairs, a research analyst at Keiko noted. US corporate stablecoin issuers are having problems of their own getting banking status, and many will be affected by Silvergate's collapse. Issuers like Circle Internet Finance promised to hold an equivalent amount of assets to back the number of USDC in circulation, money that has to be parked somewhere. But for smaller firms, at least, it's possible a conversion from cash to stablecoins could hold them over. But it's not just about what happens here in America. Unlike the US, the European Union has been taking a proactive view towards regulating the crypto economy, with new rules rather than trying to shove a new asset class into an old categorization. The pending Market in Crypto Assets, or MiCA law, is a broad set of rules expected to go into effect soon, providing clarity for both crypto companies and financial institutions that want to serve them. The crypto problems in the US could only catalyze the trend of firms looking overseas to set up shop. One indication of that, by the way, is that, quote, the BTC-Euro pair hit its highest level of market share versus the US dollar ever last week, nearly tripling in market share in the space of a few weeks, according to Keiko analysts. And finally, it's payment providers. On Monday, the CEO of crypto financial services firm BCB Group told CoinDesk's Ian Allison that his company's payment processor is accelerating plans to add U.S. dollar capabilities to help fill the hole left by Silvergate. BCB launched its real-time settlement network, the BCB Liquidity Interchange Network Consortium, or BLINK, in mid-2020. It currently handles euros, British pounds, and Swiss francs. Institutions like BCB, which provide an on-ramp into crypto for banks, could become increasingly valuable as a way to absorb some of the risks.
And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at coindesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.